Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Nick Costas will stop by hour 20 from now in his weekly spot via BetMGM, and you better you bet. Also, Hot Take Hickey producing this fine extravaganza, of course, riding shotgun with us for the next 4 hours.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
All right, I got to start with the football yesterday. Three teams I was severely disappointed in: the Cincinnati Bengals, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Los Angeles Chargers. Let's start with the Cincinnati Bengals. I know the Ravens are a heck of a football team. The Ravens are a team that constantly gets decimated with injuries and still find a way to not only show up, but win. But when you have a Ravens team that is without Marcus Williams, without Marlon Humphrey, without Ronnie Stanley, without Tyler Linderbaum, you lose Odell Beckham during the game. J.K. Dobbins out for the season with the Achilles injury. The Cincinnati Bengals coming off a performance last week, which was so lethargic up against the Cleveland Browns, where Joe Burrow only threw for 82 yards. The Bengals have to win that game yesterday. And that was a horrific performance by the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know that Joe Burrow re-aggravated the calf injury, and that's going to be a major talking point. But it is stunning to me. And yes, they got T. Higgins involved. He found the end zone twice. But Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, which is such a lethal connection, and a connection that has great synergy going back from their historic offense at LSU and the instant impact not only Ja'Marr Chase but also Joe Burrow has made with the Cincinnati Bengals, that has made the Bengals a perennial contender. It's crazy to me that through the first two games of the season, that chemistry is non-existent. That, to me, was stunning yesterday. And I know if you told me before the game, oh, Ravens win 27-24, you would go, Zach, come on, the Ravens are a good team. You shouldn't be shocked. But it was just how putrid the Bengals offense was for a second week in a row, where Ja'Marr Chase, I thought, was going to have a great day, especially with the injury concerns and the players that were out in the secondary for the Ravens. And Ja'Marr Chase had 5 receptions for a pedestrian 31 yards and dropped a touchdown in the end zone. So I think there's two takes with the Bengals. One, it's what is the health of Joe Burrow going to be? And let's be real, I don't think it's something where you're shaking in your boots, but it's something to monitor, and it's something that follows suit where we were in the offseason, where a month and a half before the start of the season, he had the calf injury. Ja'Marr Chase is like, oh, I don't want to see him the first few weeks, and now he's re-aggravated that calf injury. With more time, we will find out how severe this calf injury is. But for right now, I think most people don't believe it's going to be a big-time factor, and it will get a lot of play today. But the other part with the Bengals is, how concerned are you with them? And I'll just remind people, even though I'm disappointed with the Bengals yesterday, and I thought it was a bad offensive performance, especially with how much money Joe Burrow's making and how much money a guy like Ja'Marr Chase will wind up making in the NFL, this was a football team that last year started off slow, started off 0-2, and still found themselves in an AFC championship game where they only lost because of a Harrison Butker field goal. So I don't want to press the panic button yet with the Cincinnati Bengals, but the next 2 weeks, they have two games, and we'll see if Burrow's going to play. I'm going to assume he will, that they should win. I know the Rams have been gritty out of the gate. I know Tennessee is always a tough football team, even though they don't have a lot of great talent. But those are two games in the Rams and the Titans that the Cincinnati Bengals should win. And if they're not at 2-2, maybe you start to look at the Bengals a little bit differently. So let's put the Bengals aside. I also mentioned I was really disappointed with the Jacksonville Jaguars. If you would have told me yesterday that the great Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce would have only scored 17 points, I would have said to you, how many points did the Jaguars win the game by? And I was on the Jaguars yesterday. I loved them, +3.5, and I never bet against Mahomes, and I thought the Jaguars were going to win that game outright. But the Jaguars offense, just like the Bengals offense, was non-existent. At least the Bengals put up some points. The Jaguars had 3 field goals by Brandon McManus. How Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Travis Etienne, Evan Ingram don't find the end zone one time against a defense in Kansas City that has holes. Against a defense in Kansas City that is not the 85 Bears, is not the early 2000 Ravens, is not the Legion of Boom with the Seattle Seahawks. It's an opportunity that just shows you that maybe the Jaguars aren't a great team, where the Jaguars could just be a good team. And this is coming from someone that had the Jacksonville Jaguars as the second overall seed in the AFC a few weeks ago before the season started. Bad division, great quarterback, great coach, defense going to be improved with Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker making big steps. And you would have thought that all that stuff combined would mean that the Jaguars would be a Super Bowl contender. But to start off the year, they had to come from behind to beat the lousy Colts. And then in week 2, I know you have the Chiefs in there, and Chris Jones made an immediate impact coming on back, but Travis Kelce still not 100%. And I know Kelce found the end zone, but for the most part, you're able to bottle him up. That's a big win for the Jaguars defense that you only held Kansas City to 17 points. But with how many great offensive minds that you have and how many great offensive players you have there, how the heck do you only score 9 points in the game? And that just kind of tells me and suggests to me that, sure, Jacksonville could have a good season. Jacksonville could be a really good team. But there is a hierarchy in the AFC. And everyone's chasing Kansas City. And when Kansas City is vulnerable, and Kansas City gave you every opportunity at home for the Jags to go win the game and go take control of that game, you weren't able to do so. So I did not like that offensive performance yesterday by the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I thought it was a missed opportunity. And then finally, I told you I was disappointed in the Los Angeles Chargers. This was a game when I'm doing Eye on Football for 8 hours on many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates. I said Chargers and Titans. This is a game that it's in the balance, and it's going to be decided in the final few minutes. And I know it goes to overtime, and Nick Folk hits the game-winning 42-something-yard field goal. That's another game that once again just shows you the Chargers are not going to be a team that exceeds expectations. To start off this year, 0-2 is a disgrace. I know you were going up against Miami. I know you were going up against Tennessee. But 0-2 to start the year when both of those games were close is unacceptable. And you could just double down on everyone's take. And I know there's many areas to blame. The defense for the Chargers is no good. The offense has to find a way to just carry the team and get the job done. But this head coach, everyone knew it before the start of the season. He's not a good head coach. Yes, I know he got the Chargers to the playoffs last year. He had an all-time choke job in the postseason up against the Jaguars. And we know the Spanos family is cheap. We know they weren't going to fire him at the end of the year. But I don't see how Brandon Staley next year is going to be the head football coach of this team. And right away, I've already thought of 2 replacements. You want to tell me Jim Harbaugh is annoyed at the NCAA and there's a chance that he would leave Michigan? I go bring Jim Harbaugh to Los Angeles in a second to go coach guys like Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Quinnen Johnston. I know Austin Ekeler didn't play in the game yesterday, but that would be a coach that I think would light a fire under these guys' ass and find a way to close games. Because like Harbaugh or not, 4 years in the NFL, made three NFC championship games and also a Super Bowl. And the other name would be Eric Bieniemy. I know most people are operating in the camp with how many years we talked about Bieniemy. You'll believe he'll get a head coaching job when you see it. But he's done a nice job through two games with the Commanders. And the one gripe and the one criticism is that he coaches the players too hard. Brandon Staley is a player-friendly coach, and it makes you nauseous how player-friendly he is. I'm okay if you bring someone in like a Bieniemy that has a sharp offensive mind, has won in this league, that can light a little bit of a fire under these players you-know-what, and also hold these players accountable. Because I would have to think if Bieniemy's coaching this team, you're not having two losses like where the Chargers are right now. But it's so clear, it is abundantly clear, that this guy, Brandon Staley, is not the right guy for the Chargers right now. And I would circle two names for this offseason. We'll see if the Spanos family does it. I would circle Jim Harbaugh, if you get him from Michigan, and then also Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator with the Washington Commanders. So those are three teams I was really disappointed in yesterday. Horrible offensive performance by the Bengals. Horrible offensive performance by the Jaguars. And another game where if you're a Chargers fan, I know there's not many of you, that you say, if this would have happened, if that would have happened, a game you should have won, but you didn't win. And for the few Charger fans that are out there, you have to be so sick that you're green in the face. Hickey, let me ask you this. Give me one team that you were disappointed in this weekend if you take the Bengals, Jaguars, and Chargers out of the mix.
Has to be the Lions. I was really hoping after a nice win in Kansas City last week. Again, I know no Travis Kelce. I know no Chris Jones. But you know what? Good teams win those games. And now you come back home against a Seahawks team that had a bad loss for that most people think because they were down on the Rams last week to L.A. And now you get them reeling. That should have been a game where you win at home. You take advantage of Geno's bad first game and kind of capitalize on the momentum. And not that they squandered it completely, but still has a chance to go 2-0 and really kind of put a stranglehold on the division, squander the lead, lose in overtime, and now here sitting at 1-1.
I think the Lions are very comparable to the Jaguars, where the Jaguars will win some games that will impress you. The Lions will win some games that impress you. But when you have a chance to make a statement, and I know the Lions made a statement to start off the year, but in game number two, to show that you're actually legit this year, and a lot of people could get behind you, and it's not just noise because we're rooting for a lovable loser team for so many years. You're at home coming off a monster win against the Chiefs. You can't have a letdown. And you knew that was going to be a shootout. You knew that was going to be a high-scoring affair. And you look at that defense, as great as they were in Kansas City, that defense was brutal yesterday, especially in that fourth quarter up against the Seattle Seahawks. And by the way, I know we've taken the tag off of Keenan Allen, the most underrated wide receiver in the league, because everyone's now said that for the last 5 years. Tyler Lockett may be the most underrated wide receiver in football. All we do with the Seahawks is talk about DK Metcalf and then the draft pick out of Ohio State, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Tyler Lockett has been so imperative to what they do, and he had two touchdowns yesterday, one to give them a 24-21 lead and the other to walk it off in overtime and win the game 37-31. And two other guys that are really underrated, Amara St. Brown, who's on the Lions, and then also Terry McLaurin, who also got in the end zone for the Commanders as well. Those are the three new Keenan Allens of the NFL, if you want to say, were the guys that we should say are great receivers, but still don't get thrown into the national spotlight and are really underrated. Now, I'll give you one team because I don't want to be all doom and gloom here on a Monday. Some people want some positivity, right? That's why you tune in to CBS Sports Radio. I was really impressed with the Buffalo Bills yesterday. I know you could chalk it up and say, oh, it's the Raiders. Oh, the Raiders have a porous defense. But the Bills took a step in the right direction yesterday, where for the last 2 years, I've been bitching and complaining about the Buffalo Bills keeping on telling you, oh, Josh Allen has to make better decisions. Oh, Josh Allen needs to know when to give up on a play. Josh Allen can't be Superman and keep on running through a brick wall. That's what I've been told for the last 2-3 years. And I've always said, well, why don't you go get a running back? Or why do you take the decision And why don't you take the decision out of Josh Allen's hands and make more of a commitment to running the ball? I know it's easier to do that in a blowout, but yesterday, Josh Allen ran the ball three times. And James Cook, who they drafted a year ago in the second round, had a big performance, 17 carries for 123 yards. I know you could just chalk it up and say, oh, it's the Raiders act, this and that, but that's a step in the right direction. I like the approach of the Bills offense yesterday up against the Raiders. Hickey, give me one team that you're buzzing off of from yesterday that you said, okay, I was impressed with their performance.
I'm actually going to go to the reverse of your Jaguars take. I was impressed with the Chiefs. I was, because that's a team that we only talk about how they win is Patrick Mahomes. And after last week, right, it's all they need Travis Kelce back. And you had those guys back. You also had Chris Jones back, who the defense played well in week number one without him. And now 2 weeks in a row against two high-flying offenses, it was, oh, I forget the score now.
21-20.
21-20 last week. And now 9 points, three field goals. Yesterday against a good Jaguars team at home, coming off an explosive week one against the Colts. That's a really nice job by Kansas City's defense and shows you they can win in more than just, hey, Patrick Mahomes, go save us and win the game.
And I think a lot of credit goes to a guy that I call him a Hall of Fame coordinator, but that doesn't happen. You don't get in the Hall of Fame being a coordinator. And Steve Spagnuolo, when they've won championships, they've been slow starting on the defensive side of the ball, and then they've found a way to make timely stops. This year, maybe they're getting off to a hot start. 1 week without Chris Jones, then Chris Jones comes back. Had that big sack on Trevor Lawrence in the game. So you take a glance at Kansas City. Yeah, it's kind of funny. To the first 2 weeks of the season, their defense has been more positive than the offense, which means this. When that offense gets going and Mahomes finds the chemistry with the wide receivers and Travis Kelce gets back to 100% health, we all knew the Chiefs were going to be a force to be reckoned with. But holy smokes, they'll really be a force to be reckoned with if we're complimenting their defense this much and saying how much the offense needs to improve. Zach Gelb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Give me a team you were disappointed in. Give me a team that you were impressed with from this past weekend. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we come on back, Bill Belichick just does not get it. And also, another week and another jackass in the booth when it comes to these dopey TV refs. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it, along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization, too. Now, let's keep it up.
Keep it up!
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up!
Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, I'll tell you why Bill Belichick doesn't get one thing coming up in a few moments. Also, give you my thoughts on another disgraceful performance by these TV refs yesterday. But let's go to the phones first. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We start things off on this busy Monday show with Joshua in Kansas City on the Zach Gelb Show. Joshua, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Doing fantastic. What do you got?
Good. Hey, I was just wondering if anybody took into consideration, and I know I'm just a fan watching TV, you guys are analysts, know your thing, but did anybody think about, you know, the Chiefs' offense downfall being Eric Bieniemy being gone? And number two, I want to touch on, I want my Cowboys to get some love for the 7 turnovers on their two weeks. And with that, I'll let you go and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Joshua. Here's what I'll say about Bieniemy. I don't think this hurts Bieniemy that the Chiefs are struggling through the first 2 weeks of the season. But as someone that was in the penthouse of football for 20 years as a fan, watching Tom Brady lose coordinators before, and we all know Mahomes is a great quarterback and is a top, 5'10", whatever quarterback that he'll be of all time, and probably end up being a top 3 quarterback. I don't want to hear those excuses. I don't. Because for years, Brady lost coordinators, had not star wide receivers to throw the football to. I don't believe anyone actually thinks that the house is crumbling in Kansas City with two lackluster performances on the offensive side of the ball through the first two games of the season. But it could be a feather in the cap, and it makes Bieniemy look good. But ultimately, if Bieniemy continues to have success with the Commanders, when we all know he's fully running the offensive side of the ball in Landover, Maryland, with Ron Rivera as the head coach, and he doesn't get a head coaching job this year, then it's an absolute joke. So good start for Bieniemy. And yes, sure, Chiefs struggle if you want to take a little victory lap for that, but you look at it the other way. I've been more impressed with what he's done with the Commanders through the first 2 weeks of the season. Let's go to Hassan in Pennsylvania next up on CBS Sports Radio. Hassan, what's shaking?
My Dallas Cowboys. Yeehaw!
You're fired up about them. You're drinking the Kool-Aid with the Cowboys.
Oh, yes. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, my brother. Dallas Cowboys right now, the defense right now is the best defense, man. Micah Parsons is the best player right now in the league.
The best player in the league pumped the brakes. You'd still rather have Patrick Mahomes over Micah Parsons. You know that, and I know that.
Yes, definitely. I agree with that. But the boy can play, though. The boy can play, man.
He's unbelievable. We all knew this Cowboys defense was going to be ridiculous before the start of the season. They showed that last year up against the 49ers in the playoff game. But ultimately, it comes down to, in the postseason, is the quarterback going to be able to consistently get the job done? Through two games, give him credit. They blew out the Giants. They blew out the Jets 40-0, 30-10. But really what the Cowboys do in the regular season, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but my questions about that offense, when there's no excuses this year, will be answered in the postseason. We'll see if they can get to an NFC title game and a Super Bowl for the first time since 1995.
That's true, man. That's true. I agree with that.
So are you saying Super Bowl? I know you should be excited. You go, all right, Cowboys, is it Super Bowl this year? Do you actually believe it?
I'm totally agreeing for the Super Bowl, man. Trust me, I am.
I don't know. You don't sound all that confident to me, Hassan. And let me tell you this, because I had some fun with Cowboys fans. They weren't really going after me. They were going after Channing Crowder, who joined us last week and told us that he doesn't believe in Dak Prescott and he doesn't think Dak's going to win a Super Bowl, and all these Cowboys fans started going nuts. It is funny to me how the Cowboy fan takes the bait, Hickey, each and every year. Like, I understand you're pumped up, your team wins, but if you're a realistic fan here, and I know that's sometimes an oxymoron, don't you got to kind of say, yeah, but let's see this team get the job done in the postseason, where the last 2 years they should have defeated the 49ers at least once, if not twice, and they still didn't get the job done?
They have been the best team through the first 2 weeks, right? I think that's obvious and fair to say. But it's also nothing different than we've seen the last few years, like you said. Like, we know they have a great defense, and we know come playoff time, like, we know they've been a great regular season team.
10 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins.
Like, they're always, win total-wise, near the top of the league regular season.
And McCarthy's a good coach.
It's not a shock to see them dominate on defense and then win regular season games. The questions have always been playoffs.
And you know this, and I know this. There's a reason why I call them the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. even in an NFC, that there's not many that great teams. Come playoff time, let's see if they could go get three wins to find their way marching to the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. Let's go to Larry in Florida next up on CBS Sports Radio. Larry, what's happening?
Hey, Zach. Great job as always. Hey, I was a little disappointed, though, in you today opening up and not crediting Hickey there with his Indianapolis Colts and his Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Colts? I got to credit the Colts for beating the doors off of the Texans?
They're 2-0. Not many people.
No, they're not. They're 1-1. The Colts are 1-1. They lost to the Jaguars week one.
Right, but his Buccaneers are 2-0, and nobody else had the Buccaneers nationally besides Mr. Hickey.
I give Hickey credit for that.
A little pat on the back anyway for him.
Mm-hmm. I will give Hickey a small pat on the back because I will say this. he has had confidence with the Buccaneers. I'm not ready to say they're going to win the division. I will say that my pick of the Falcons is still going to stand, and the Falcons are 2-0 with a nice comeback victory up against the Packers yesterday. But, Hickey, I'll give you credit for the Bucs so far. You know, the Bears stink, but the Minnesota victory was a good win. But that's a heck of a defense, and Baker Mayfield has quickly won over that locker room. So they're a team that will definitely be lurking in this bad division of the NFC South. And here's the best part about this. Hickey and I both took a beating from one of our affiliates on WFNZ from Mac and Bone. They were like, oh, Gelb's taking the Falcons. Hickey's taking the Bucks. No one's showing any love for the Panthers. We all know this, even after one game. Saints got a chance to win this division. The Bucks have a chance to win this division. The Falcons have a chance to win this division. But, Hickey, there is no shot that the Carolina Panthers have a shot to win this division. So, you know what? We could walk together on this one. We could hold hands and walk together, and we could unite over the Carolina Panthers and some of the hate that we took over this summer from Mac and Bone that I do a weekly spot with in football season on Fridays on WFNZ.
Now, well, obviously, if the Saints win, that'll help us out a little bit here. But through 2 weeks, we cannot be so far more right. And if the Panthers lose, they cannot be more wrong so far as early as it could be.
So
let's go.
Are you saying tonight we're going to be screaming, who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they're going to beat them Saints? We're going to be big fans of the Saints tonight. Get the gumbo. Get the beignets out. We're having a party. Hopefully tonight with all the Saints. I have to actually root for Derek Carr, that means.
I was going to say, I hate to say it. I'll root against myself here. I'm going to root for Bryce Young. He's way more likable, and I'll take an L there.
Let's go to Hung in Pennsylvania next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening?
Yeah, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. What do you got for me?
I gotta say that if the Bengals, your touchdown, lose to the Rams, L.A. Rams, they're going to be done. Because you know what? They garbage. They overrated. They didn't play nobody with Lamar Jackson. They won against 1-7 against Lamar.
So who are you a fan of? Let me just ask.
I'm a Raven fan, but I'm telling you
so
right
you think
now,
the Bengals are overrated when the last 2 years they've been in a Super Bowl and an AFC title game, and last year they were 0-2 and still got to an AFC title game. Like, you should be fired up as a Ravens fan, but to basically throw a funeral here for the Bengals is laughable, and you know that.
No, but you got to understand, the Ravens without Lamar, it's a different team. You know that. And Lamar, when Lamar in there, they're going to destroy the Bengals every time. Look at the record. The record.
Okay, but why are the Bengals then dead? Why do you think the Bengals – you don't think the Bengals are going to make the playoffs this year?
I don't – if they lose to the Rams, guarantee you, they're going to have two wins. I'm telling you
Do you think
right
they're
going
to lose to the Rams?
Maybe the way the
oh, don't the give me a maybe. Give me a take here. Yes or no? Do you think they're going to lose to the Rams?
I think so because Sean McVay, that's a good coach. And right now, the Ram is hot.
You know what? Let me tell you this. I can't stand Sean McVay. I'm done with Sean McVay. Did you see what this doofus did yesterday taking that field goal? Hey, the only explanation is, and you know what? Maybe the league should look into this because they go after players all the time for gambling. +7, +7.5 was that spread? That Niners was a lock. He's down 10 and he takes a field goal in the final play of the game, Hickey. I couldn't believe that yesterday. That drove me bonkers, and I thought it was a loser move by Sean McVay, who we all know, right? He won a Super Bowl, phenomenal coach, whiz kid, offensive genius, but this dude has had 1 foot in, 1 foot out ever since winning that Super Bowl. But Hickey, I have heard nothing in the last 24 hours that justifies that just weak field goal attempt that he had as the clock was expiring down by 10 points in that contest. And I had it, thankfully, the Niners laying 7, so it ended up being a push. But I don't understand why he would take the field goal in that spot.
Yeah, neither do I. It was pretty pathetic. It's kind of, you know, we've seen coaches do this in the past. Just kick a field goal to avoid a shutout, get on the board. I mean, obviously, we're not getting shut out at the point. I got nothing there. 4 seconds left. Just throw it, Hail Mary, end the game, and let's just move on to another dumb or another victory for the 49ers over the Rams.
And it's not as if they were embarrassed. You know, Puka Nacua is turning into a star through the first two games of the season with Cooper Kupp out. This Rams team is just not all that talented, and they hung in there. They were right there with the 49ers for a good chunk of the game before the 49ers' talent just did take over. So I'm mystified by the field goal attempt yesterday. All righty, I got to get this out of my system before we get to ACK on the update. Bill Belichick, I said last year that it was a joke what he was doing with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, those two bozos calling plays. This offseason, I had two requests. Go get a legit offensive coordinator. They did part of that. They went out there. They got Bill O'Brien. The other request was go get a number one wide receiver. You look around the league. When did Josh Allen start to take off? When he got Stephon Diggs. When did Jalen Hurts start to take off? When he got not only Devontae Smith, but then A.J. Brown. When did Tua Tagovailoa start to take off? When he got Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And I'm watching that Dolphins-Patriot game last night. And the Patriots, right, they were in the game for a little bit. Then whenever it looked like they were going to go get the ball in the end zone, they would fall flat on their face, or the Dolphins would have a big play. Look at the Dolphins last night when they have, and Tyreek Hill didn't even have this great game. I know Jalen Waddle got hurt, but they got speed. They got talent. And it's like whenever the Patriots take a step or two forward, then right after that, they take two or three steps back. And that's a problem. Because whenever they cross midfield, you look around the room and you look at the weapons that they have, if you even want to call them that. I think it's an insult to weapons. It's like Juju Smith-Schuster, Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker. These are like number three wide receivers on any other team in the league. And I don't think Mac Jones is great, but I do believe Mac Jones could be good. But they're wasting the rookie contract of Mac Jones with the stupidity last year of not having an offensive coordinator. Now you finally get an offensive coordinator in Bill O'Brien, and Mac Jones has no one to throw the football to. So that drove me bonkers last night. And the other thing that drove me bonkers, and you heard me just take a blowtorch to the career of John Parry last week when he's saying, oh, it's an asterisk, they missed the penalty, blah, 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 blah. And he was just sucking all the fun out of that great Jets victory after losing Aaron Rodgers for the season up against the Buffalo Bills. But this guy, Terry McCauley, last night, just reaffirms to me why I hate all TV refs. They add nothing to the broadcast. Absolutely nothing. And after the Cole Strange play last night, you want to tell me he didn't get a first down? Fine. But for that guy to have the audacity to say that it was clear and obvious, what game are you watching, Terry McCauley? There's nothing clear and obvious on a lateral when a fat guy catches the football, and I could say that because I'm a large fella, and then you have a bunch of other fat guys pushing him forward and a bunch of knees going all over the place, that you could clearly tell me when it needs to be clear that that play should have been overturned. And for him to sit on his throne last night, Terry McCauley, and just be just so obnoxious and so pretentious and go, oh, it was clear and obvious, Chris. What a joke. And these TV refs, they add jack. If I was running NBC, CBS, ESPN, Fox, I would say no TV refs. They ruin week in and week out the games over and over and over again where we slow everything down. We dissect it. And then these guys are know-it-alls, and they're usually wrong all the time. You want to tell me you didn't think that was a first down last night? Fine. You can't tell me that was clear and obvious. I watched the play 1,000 bleeping times. There was nothing clear and obvious about that. All right, had to get it out of my system. Hickey, I cannot stand these TV refs. This is back-to-back weeks. You know, I need to breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. Because these TV refs, they're killing me this year. They are killing me. They had absolutely jacked to the broadcast, Hickey.
I honestly don't mind them.
Oh, like, you stink.
You just like, I mean, kind of half tune them out. Most of the time it's there to confirm whatever they're talking about. It's just, look, you have your own vendetta against them, so.
Yeah. Well, you know what? No offense, I love you, but you really don't have a good ear then for the people in the broadcast booth on football games. Because you are also the same guy that told me, oh, Mark Jones is this great broadcaster.
He's funny.
Well, oh, he was brutal. absolutely brutal and embarrassing on Saturday night. That entire booth besides Lewis Riddick, the sideline report, I don't even know what his name was. He was brutal in the game too. So we'll get to Mark Jones. We'll get to Colorado. We'll do some three college football takes when the Zach Gelb Show does return. But before we actually toss it over to Rich Ackerman, we got to give a little round of applause to Ack. Ack did not tell me this. He just goes on Thursday evening, Wednesday evening, not going to be there tomorrow, not going to be there for the rest of the week. And I'm like, oh, I wonder where Ack's going on a little vacation. Unlike Ack, vacation. In football season, little did we know, Rich Ackerman was doing play-by-play for the New York Mets on 880 WCBS.
Only three innings.
Well, you still did the play-by-play.
It's true.
Very good. I was shocked you didn't tell us.
I didn't tell anybody.
You didn't tell anybody? So when Ray Martell put that out on Twitter, were you not happy with Ray?
No.
That's a good job out of you. You just want to mind your own business, do the game, and then go from there.
Yes.
Well, I do have a play-by-play call for you, which I did enjoy a lot. I asked Hickey, get me a few play-by-play calls. I want to hear a little bit of Ack. Hickey, give me the Ack call of DJ Stewart making a nice grab in right field on the Mets radio network.
Swung on and in the air to right. Stewart going back at the track and leaps and makes the catch. DJ Stewart does it again with the glove. He has been on a tear at the plate, but also his defensive play in right field has certainly improved over the last month.
That's a good call, Ack. Nice job. Right.
Thank you.
I know you're not going to take any compliments here. If we would have known, you know what I would have done, though?
What would you have done?
I would have taken off. Hickey would have taken off. Marco would have taken off. And we all would have ran on the field like every third inning to just see how you would have handled that on the radio.
And then somebody would have to bail you out.
Well, I didn't think that part through.
There you go.
One night in the slammer. What else could really happen? Just make sure, Hickey, you don't drop any of that soap. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Three college football takes next.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Time for three college football takes. Colorado, Colorado State. It was cool how Colorado became the epicenter of the college football world for the weekend, where you had Dwayne The Rock Johnson there, you had Pat McAfee there, ESPN, Fox, everyone was right at this Colorado-Colorado State game. You had Lil Wayne doing the pregame introductions and was singing and was rapping as well. It was pretty neat. And the actual game was better than anyone thought it was going to be. With the idiotic comments of Jay Norvell, with the sunglasses and the hat going after Deion Sanders and saying, when I talk to grownups, I take that off my face and off my head. Everyone thought this game was going to be a blowout. And for a while, it looked like Colorado State was not only going to make a statement, but they were going to win the game. And then Shador Sanders does what Shador Sanders does, and he just once again shows you why he's going to be a top 15 pick in this upcoming draft, and he's going to be a first-round quarterback. But Hickey, that game was better than what anyone thought. And afterwards, you know, I thought we were all waiting for that moment at midfield between Deion Sanders and Jay Norvell, but I think Deion Sanders knew that, I don't want to say his team was lucky to win the game, but that was a game that they easily could have lost. And you don't want to do too much celebrating when you were favored by 24 points. And I think what we heard from the morning where Coach Prime was on, it was either Fox or ESPN, whichever pregame show, and he goes, oh, I'm going to take my hat off, my glasses off after the game and shake his hand and basically say, like, how do you like me now? It wasn't that contentious of a moment after the game that we thought because of, to his credit, the way that Jay Norvell coached that team. The only problem that I had with Jay Norvell is in the second overtime. It was all bizarre with the coin flip, and I guess Colorado won, and they somehow took the ball first. But when Colorado State scores that touchdown in overtime after Colorado already scored, you got to go for the two-point conversion there. And how about this? This is my biggest takeaway from the game. And this shows you why the broadcasting booth was horrible with Mark Jones. We won't even get to his – we'll get to his call in just a second at the end of the game. But how does no one on the broadcast bring up going for two in that spot? I thought it was – I'll take a Terry McCauley line. I thought it was clear and obvious that they should have gone for two in that spot and go win the game there. But Colorado State didn't elect to do that.
How about you even just tell us why Colorado won the toss and took the ball? Like, they were in overtime. I confused myself why all of a sudden Colorado got the ball first, and then the second overtime when they're supposed to alternate, Colorado gets the ball again. We found out later why it was, but like you said, that's where you really would think the rule, either, you know, either the broadcaster analyst, someone would step in and say, oh, Colorado won the toss and they took the ball first. So now Colorado State in the second overtime gets to decide what they want to do. Either way, I've defended Mark Jones and some of his lines that were funny before. No defending on Saturday night.
And how he doesn't bring up going for two there, and at least the possibility, it made absolutely zero sense. And here was his call after the game, when the game is coming to a close. We'll play it for you, and then I'll give you my thoughts on it in a second.
Nicolosi steps up into the end zone, in a crowd. No good. Picked off by Woods, and it's over. Buffaloes win it. Do you believe now?
And that's why I don't like Mark Jones. Because I've always said, I think he just does this play-by-play voice and everything's scripted. Do you believe now is clearly something that he thought was going to be the end of the call before the game started. And when a team is a 24-point favorite, and I'm someone that believed in Coach Prime and Colorado before the start of the season, they go win five games or something like that. For you to do you believe now, when it wasn't this great performance by the Colorado football team, I thought was an absolute joke, Hickey, from your guy in Mark Jones.
I would agree, and that's part of the reason why you brought it up before, why Deion made the right move in keeping at least his hat on when, you know, shaking Jay Norvell's hand after the game, because, yeah, I think you said it, Deion knew deep down we got lucky and probably should not have won this game.
And also the sideline reporter, whoever that guy was, trying to defend Jay Norvell, and he was saying, oh, the hat and the sunglasses was a message to his team. What message are you sending? I thought there's sometimes announcers overprotect coaches. The sideline reporter overprotecting Jay Norvell just made him sound absolutely clueless. So that's my first take. Good that Colorado won, but I thought the broadcast was absolutely horrific from Mark Jones, whoever the sideline reporter was. I happened to like Lewis Riddick. I thought he was the only one that knew what he was talking about. Your first college football take.
Let's go from bad to worse. The Alabama quarterback situation. Look, this is going in the year why I was not high in this team, but even for me, who I personally feel like I was the most down in Alabama going into the year, did not see this coming, where all of a sudden now we have three quarterbacks play in the first three games, two quarterback switches going into week number four, and even though Jalen Milroe now seems to be the guy for, let's say, a majority of the season going forward, because we saw Tyler Buchner, saw too much of him, saw too much of Ty Simpson, boy, oh boy, this is something we have not seen in Tuscaloosa in a long time.
Well, the alarming part is after one loss, how Saban felt the public pressure that he had to start somebody else. And it just shows you with how quickly you go back to Milroe. I don't really believe that he wanted to bench Milroe in the first place. My next college football take, I absolutely love this weekend. Notre Dame up against Ohio State, and pending on the health of Jordan Travis, and they just survived up against BC, but those games happen when you're going to have a really good season. I think Florida State is going to do a number on Clemson as well. I love what I've seen so far from Notre Dame and Florida State. I think they both get two big victories this weekend, Notre Dame against Ohio State and Florida State going up against Clemson.
We are 25% of the way in the season. I think right now at this point we could say there's no great team in college football. There's no one clear-cut team of everyone else. I could argue right now any of the teams in the top 10 could win national title. That's great.
And I will give you my final take here. Washington may be the most underappreciated team in the country. Everyone talks about the Pac-12, USC, Colorado, Oregon. I know Washington is a top 15 team in the country, a top 10 team in the country. But what Michael Penix Jr. is doing so far, I know it's up against Boise State, Tulsa, and Michigan State, but he's thrown for 450 yards, 409 yards, and 473 yards. Washington, to me, is my pick before the year to win the Pac-12. They're still my pick. I think they are the best overall team in the Pac-12. Your final college football take.
Billy Napier saved his job. Yeah. I thought if he lost for the first time in 20 years at home in Tennessee, it was only going to go downhill from there, and he was going to have a hole too big to dig out of. Dominant win over Tennessee, continues that home winning streak going over the Vols. I think he did a good job, at least, of saving his job for the rest of 2023.
And how about Tom Petty, right? Rocking in the Swamp, the song. That was absolutely awesome. I Won't Back Down. That was really cool when you have 100,000 people just going nuts. Singing in the Swamp. I thought that was a neat scene. And that fight at the end of the game, Josh Heupel, that's all on him. He realized it afterwards, and he immediately apologized to Billy Napier. But I thought that was a bad showing for Tennessee, and it kind of just shows you Tennessee not as good as maybe some people thought heading into the year with Florida getting a dominant victory over the Vols.